Good morning. We have come to the portion of our worship service dedicated to the study of God's Word. This morning, if you have not already, open your Bibles to John chapter 6, where we will primarily focus on verses 35 through 40. In a lesson I have entitled, I Am the Bread of Life. Before we read the passage of Scripture, though, we need to back up to verses 22 through 34, which Cole read for us a few moments ago, to understand what is going on when Jesus speaks the phrase, I am the Bread of Life. On the previous day, Jesus felt compassion for the crowd of some 5,000 men and their families, so He took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and He fed them all. And there were scraps left over. When the crowd saw the sign, they were amazed and wanted to immediately make Jesus their king. But our Lord perceived this, and so He withdrew to the mountains. Now that night, His disciples got in their small boat, and they paddled over to Capernaum. Jesus walked some 3 to 4 miles across the sea to rendezvous with His disciples in order to continue their journey to Capernaum. Now what's interesting is the crowds, while they saw the disciples leave, they had no idea where Jesus had gone. So the next morning when they wake up, they decide, hey, there's some boats. Let's follow the disciples on to Capernaum. Maybe we'll find Jesus. And of course, they do find Jesus. They find Him at the synagogue and they say, Lord, how did You get here? They are perplexed. They are confused because they did not see Jesus get on the boat, nor did they see Him walk across the water. So they wanted their question answered. Now, Jesus could have demonstrated how He walks across water. He could have explained to them the events of the preceding night. But instead, He addresses the motivation for why they rowed across the sea. He says, you have come to Me not because you beheld the miracles, but because you ate your fill of bread. Now this crowd responds to Jesus and they say to Him, Lord, show us another sign that we might believe in You. The rabbis of this time had a teaching that the prophet who was to come would provide perpetual manna from heaven for the people. That's what the crowds wanted Jesus to do. They wanted Him to give them another meal. Jesus tells them they are mistaken as to the true source of the bread. It was not Moses who gave them manna from heaven, but it was God. And secondly, they needed to crave a better bread. Jesus will go on to say, those who ate the manna in the wilderness all died. But the bread that He could provide to them, that would give them eternal life. When the crowds heard this, they said, Lord, give us this bread always. Now, let us pick up the reading in verse 35. This is the holy and inspired word of God. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. This morning, I want to consider with you six vital points Jesus makes about himself in this text, which help us better understand our Lord's identity, his mission, and how we as man should respond to these great truths. I am the bread of life. First and foremost, speaks to the identification of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus uses a very interesting phrase. He says of himself, ego eimi. Now, literally translated, that would be, I am the bread of life. Now, we don't speak like that. But in the Greek they did, when they wanted to emphasize something. And what Jesus wants to emphasize right now is his deity. And so he takes a phrase that's very hard to find. As a matter of fact, there's very few places in all of the Septuagint version of the Old Testament where this phrase is found, but I bet you can guess one place where it is found. It is found in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses asks God, what is your name that I may tell the people who has sent me? And God says, I am that I am, or in the Greek, ego eimi. What is God saying about himself? He is saying he is without beginning, he is without end, that he is all powerful, that he is all knowing, that he is self-contained, that he relies on no one else, that he can do all things by himself. And what Jesus does in John chapter 6, in verse 35, is he takes this sacred name of God and he applies it to himself. He says, I am the creator and I am the sustainer of life. And only one who is truly God can then say, I am the bread of life. I am the one who can eternally quench your thirst. I am the one who can eternally satisfy your hunger. When we think of bread, we think big deal. We can go to Cracker Barrel any morning, any afternoon, any evening, and we can get cornbread for free. I hear you laughing. You know that's right. We can go to Red Lobster and get my wife's favorite bread, Cheddar Bay biscuits. We can go to Texas Roadhouse and we can get honey buttered bread. If you like Mexican food, you can go to any Mexican restaurant anywhere and you can get bottomless tortilla chips. That's bread. And salsa. To us, bread is simply an add-on. It is a freebie. It's something that goes along with the meal. It's an appetizer, but it's not the main course. Now, that's how it is for us today, but it's not that way in the first century. In the first century, bread was not an appetizer. It was the entree. It was the main course. Sometimes it's the only thing that people had to eat. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," what he is telling the crowd on that day is that he is indispensable. That he is irreplaceable. Unless you eat his flesh and you drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. Jesus is not just Joseph and Mary's sons. As the crowd would say in verse 42, he is the holy, virgin-born Son of God. He is the second person of the Godhead, and he has come down to earth to bring life to the world. This is the identification of Jesus the Christ. But "I am the bread of life" also speaks to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It speaks to the humility of our Lord and Savior. Read with me again, verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Remember what Paul says as he discusses the attitude we should have as Christ's followers. Jesus did not count it to be grasped equality with God, but emptied himself. He took on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself in obedience and was crucified on the cross. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 2 that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels in order to bring many sons to glory, in order to be the captain of our salvation, or in order to become like us, in order to make atonement for our sins. What we need to understand about this truth is that we could not go to heaven. We could not ascend to the Father. Our sins separated us from God. And so if we were to become sons of God, then Jesus had to become a son of man. If we wanted to go to heaven, then Jesus had to come to earth. Now remember, Jesus is contrasting the manna from heaven, which Moses provided, with the true manna, the manna that brings life, with himself. Just as God sent manna from heaven while they were wandering the wilderness to temporarily sustain the people, God has sent his son Jesus to provide for all the world an opportunity to have a better bread. A bread that would build within us life in abundant
life. We could not go to God. So God had to send Jesus to rescue us from our sins. This is the incarnation of Jesus the Christ. But thirdly, I am the bread of life speaks to salvation. In John chapter 3 and verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." I want you to notice a continued theme throughout our Lord's sermon. In verse 27, and in verse 40, and in verse 47, and in verse 51, each passage tells us that Jesus came to bring eternal life. Now, what does that mean? What does it really mean for us? How should we understand this idea of eternal life? Well, it is unlike anything that this life has to offer. There's nothing that we can point to that is quite like dwelling forevermore with God and with Jesus in heaven. And I want you to see how Jesus would provide us with eternal life. What exactly did Jesus say He would do in order to procure for us eternal life? That truth is found in verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Now watch this. "And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus knew when He came to this earth that He would die. And Jesus is telling us that in order to complete the mission that God has given Him, His flesh would be crucified. His flesh would be killed that we might have the right to eternal life. And I say right because not everyone will receive eternal life. "I am the bread of life" speaks to man's condition. Again in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We have an interesting construction in this verse. Jesus uses two words that He is using the same way. He's using the word "come" and He's using the word "believe." If you want to come to Jesus, you must believe in Him. If you believe in Jesus, then that means you are coming to Him. And Jesus has a lot to say about this coming to Him for salvation. Understand, He has said in verse 53, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there is no life in you." We must come to Jesus. And if we're to come to Jesus, then that means we must leave. We must leave our current life, our current desires, and we must wholly pursue Jesus and His will for our lives. I go to work a few times a week. What do you think would happen if I put one foot in my SUV and I kept one foot outside of my SUV and I tried to drive to Franklin? I wouldn't make it out of the garage, right? We think we can come to Jesus and we can have one foot doing the Lord's will, and we can have one foot in the world. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying you have to wholly come to me. You have to completely believe in me if you want eternal life. And look again in verse 40. We've already used this passage once to describe the salvation, but notice the condition. Notice the condition in the verse. He who looks upon the Son in belief. He who sees the Son in belief. That word there, it means to carefully consider. It means to study. It means to roll over in the mind. It means to meditate upon Jesus' identity and His mission and the salvation that He wants to give to us. Notice further in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they all will be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This idea of drawing is not like some would tell you, that God is pulling you, that God is dragging you, that you cannot somehow fight against or resist His compelling you to do something? No. That's used in other places. Like when people raise sails. But here, the word means to allure. It means to attract to our side. And how does God allure? How does God bring people to Jesus? What's the next verse say? Those who are taught of God, those who hear, and those who learn are the ones who will come to Jesus. That sounds a lot like hearing the word and believing the word, doesn't it? Well, that is exactly how God draws us to Jesus. He does so through His teaching and through His Spirit's work. But have you come to Jesus today? Have you heard His word? And have you taken the appropriate action? Or are you still waiting? Are you still thinking about it? Maybe you haven't quite made up your mind. I want to share with you two more vital points Jesus makes about Himself. And the first is protection. I am the bread of life speaks to protection. Look at what Jesus says in verse 37. Again, all the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Literally, by no means will I ever cast out. If you are looking for refuge today, if you are looking for a place to rest, no, there is enough room in the kingdom for one more soul. There is enough space at the Master's side. His arm is long enough to extend out and put it around you too. Jesus says, if you come to me, I will never cast you aside. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to follow Him. And if you come to Him, He's not going to get rid of you. And then also look at what He says in verse 39. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. I lose nothing. I wish I could say I lose nothing. On Monday night, I lost my keys. I have no idea where my keys went to. I know where I put my pants that I wore to work that day. They were in my closet. My keys were not in my closet. I know what I changed into. My keys were not what I changed into. I scoured the house Monday night, Tuesday, and it wasn't until Wednesday at lunchtime that I got fed up, turned over my laundry hamper that I'd already rifled through multiple times, only to find my keys. Folks, I lose stuff all the time. We need to get a beeper for my keys. If one of you have one, I will take it. Jesus is not so. If you come to Jesus, He is not going to misplace you. If you come to Jesus, He's not going to lose you. He's not going to have to search around high and low to find where you are at. And when He comes again to take us all to heaven, He'll know right where you are. He will come to you. He will find you. He will raise you. And He will take you to be with God and to be with Him forevermore. This is the protection that Jesus Christ offers to His followers if we will come to Him, if we will believe in Him, if we will serve Him with our lives. And I want you to see one last point, because I am the bread of life speaks of satisfaction. Remember what Jesus says in verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. The very one who came down from heaven to bring life to us, the very one who promises to raise us on the last day, tells us that we just need one sip, that we just need to take one bite, and we can be satisfied forevermore. But I want you to notice just a few more verses of this great sermon, and then the lesson will be yours. Verse 56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. That is what He is discussing when He says that we can abide in Him and that He will abide in us. When we know that we have salvation, when we know that the Lord will not cast us aside, when we know that He will not lose us, we can be satisfied. We can be hopeful. And though things may go wrong temporarily for us, we can be assured that someday, when Jesus comes back, everything will go right, because we will go to heaven with Him. This satisfaction, this relationship, when we finally find what we've been looking for, and yes, that is a reference to a U2 song. When we finally find what we are looking for, a relationship with God and a relationship with His Son, we can be satisfied forevermore. But I want you to know something. After Jesus proclaimed these words, many of His disciples left Him. They stopped following Him on that day. And then Jesus turned to the 12 and He said, "Will you go too?" And Peter spoke up and he said, "To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Jesus is the bread of life. He is eternal God, come to dwell among us, come to bring life to us. And if we will come to Him, if we will believe in Him, then that life now and in the ages to come, can be ours this very morning. If you've not yet come to Jesus, You have another opportunity, and you can do so right now as we stand to sing the invitation song.